continue our studies tonight on Mastering the English Bible, Volume 1. And we are in the Genesis, the book of Genesis, and the life of Abraham, which is intertwined with the life of Lot. And so we're looking at Lot's situation and how that he was over in Sodom. And God is going to destroy Sodom, so God sent the angels over there to rescue Lot in answer to Abraham's prayer. And that's where we are in Genesis 19. And this is the result of many years of backsliding, and here's the end of it all. And surely he didn't dream years ago when he first cast his eyes towards Sodom that he would end up in this big mess. But that's what happens, step by step, and he never recovered himself spiritually, and so it was just down to the judgment at the end. He lost everything. He lost his morality. He lost his testimony before his family, and the angel said, "Go get your sons-in-law and." Your daughters, married daughters, go get them. So he tried. This is a very sad thing here. Genesis 19:14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. He had more than one, which married his daughters. And said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He had no testimony at all. They had no respect for him. And they thought he was crazy. Mocking us tonight? What are you doing? He had totally lost his testimony and power with his family. He lost the power to obey God quickly. He didn't want to do this. The angels literally had to drag him out of Sodom. And he had long ago lost his power to just obey. It's easy to lose that. Just mess around. Before long, you can't quickly obey. And he lost his wealth and his position. Yeah, spiritual muscles have to be developed. If you don't use your muscles, they will atrophy and die. And that's true with spiritual muscles. He lost his wealth and his position. He had gone to Sodom for those things. Certainly for wealth and comfort. And he wanted to live in the paradise over there. Well, he lost all of that and ended up in a cave. He lost his family. He lost his entire family. His sons-in-law and daughters, however many there were, perished in Sodom. His wife perished because her heart was in Sodom and she disobeyed the angel and turned around and looked back. God said, don't do that. And she was in the habit of disobeying God, so she perished. And here he goes out toward the cave with his, well, the little city of Zoar, and then the cave with his other two daughters, but they were so morally corrupt, he lost his whole family, everybody. Grandchildren, if there were, they're all destroyed. Why? Lot. Lot did that. And so we see lessons about the people of Sodom. This is such an important message for the whole world today. It is incredible what is happening in regard to homosexuality just in my lifetime. And how that when I was a boy, I really knew nothing about it. You didn't hear anything about it. And now with the openness and the brashness and the boldness, it is amazing how quickly this has taken over the whole world. Israel is one of the greatest destinations for homosexuals, most popular destinations. Tel Aviv has one of the biggest, most raucous gay pride weeks. It's not a day, weeks every year. Tel Aviv, it's right on the ocean. And Jerusalem has their gay pride festival every year. And so everywhere, all over the world, homosexual marriage, so-called, transsexualism, which is totally 100% insanity. Total insanity. Here's a woman saying, I'm a man. Here's a man saying, I'm a woman. And here's the government supporting it. And here's international corporations supporting it. And here's these huge social media companies like Twitter shutting anybody down that says that woman is not actually a woman, that's a man. Shut them down. They shut two Christian organizations down last week or just this week because those organizations said that this transsexual person that works in the Biden administration and claims to be a woman is, no, a man. And so Twitter said, and that's the hour we live in. It's amazing how fast this has happened. Internationally, it's happened. And that is prophecy. This is a prophecy as well as a historical event, as well as a warning. It's prophecy. The entire population of Sodom was given over to this wickedness. The old and the young, verse 4. The old and the young were out there. The small and the great were out there. The whole society, top to bottom, was out there banging on Lot's door, trying to get at these angels that they thought were men. They were given over to it. It's a warning about the corrupting influence of homosexuality. It spreads. There were not even 10 righteous in the entire city. Lot offered the wicked men his daughters. That's how vile Lot had become. Imagine. But they didn't want the daughters. They wanted these men. They thought these angels were men. They wanted these men. And there's a big Christian homosexual movement today. Among Christians, that homosexuality is an accepted thing. It's a natural thing. God gave it. Oh, it's very, very big and broad and widespread and growing constantly. And some of them say, well, the sin here was not homosexuality. It was inhospitality. They weren't hospitable. They weren't hospitable. No, they weren't hospitable, but that wasn't the major problem here. And God's word tells us the major problem. 2 Peter 2:7. Here's the major problem. 2 Peter 2:7, we read a divine comment on that situation in the New Testament. 2 Peter 2:7, it's a warning about false teachers in the end times and the immorality that will sweep through professing Christendom, which is a fulfillment of what we see today. Verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And it's a prophecy of the coming of these false teachers. And there will be many of them, and many will follow them. It's a very big thing. And there will be involved in homosexuality. It says in verse 7, and the warning, Sodom is used as a warning about these end times, and delivered Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That was their problem. Filthy manner of living. Filthy, morally filthy manner of living. And in Jude, we see the same thing, the same kind of warning, this prophecy in Jude. And and these men that are going to come in, and these men that are going to be these false teachers, who are going to creep in to the churches, ungodly men, verse 4, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and saying, oh, we're free, we're saved, we're free, God's God of grace, we can live as we please, and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have, and invented false Christs. And he also warns about Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. That was their sin. It's fornication and going after strange flesh, and are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so this, God tells us about this as a warning to every generation, and particularly as a warning about the generation in which we live. We live in awful times. Paul said in the prophecy in 2 Timothy 3 that perilous times shall come. Perilous times because of these type of things. And what we will see in the churches and the Christianity and the world at large. Yeah, perilous times. We better take our Christianity more seriously than we ever have. More seriously than we did that when I was a little kid. America's totally different, brother. You know that, than the America we were born into. And it's desperate times and it's evil times. And we can have the victory, but not with lukewarm, half-hearted, ho-hum Christianity. 100% Christianity. 100%. That'll win. No doubt about it, but nothing less will. I'm sure that nothing less will. They were open and proud about their sin. Isaiah 3:9 says that. Open and proud. They don't hide. They didn't hide their sin. Isaiah 3:9. They showed their countenance. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Wow, that's where we are today. They march in the streets, they hide it not. They were violent. Genesis 19, 9. They were violent. They warned Lot. Violent. Violently abused his daughters. Violence. Banging and crashing against the door. They were slaves to their depraved lust. Genesis 19:11. Even after the angels smote them with blindness, they were trying to get in that house. Slaves to their depraved lust. The rapid spread of homosexuality in these days is a sign of the end times. Jesus compared Lot and Sodom to the time just before his return. Luke chapter 17. This is really heart and soul of prophecy today. It's a big, 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 big sign of the times that we live in. The rapid spread of acceptance of homosexuality. Luke 17, 28 through 30. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, Jesus said. How was it in the days of Lot? What's the primary thing going on there? Sodom. And they did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they builded. Where? In Sodom. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Sign of the time, major sign of the times, the spread, rapid spread and acceptance of homosexuality in every form. And there's no end to the moral perversion of homosexuality. Once you accept that, then you'll have to accept anything that men and women want to do. And so that is a major sign of the times. And it's a major warning of the judgment that's coming. Fiery judgment. God is a savior. And that's what he loves to do, is save. And no man is going to ever be in hell that God didn't want to save. He's not willing that any perish. He would have all men to be saved. That is so clear. The gospel is offered to all men, but God, those that will not receive the gospel, God is a God of judgment. Fiery judgment, eternal judgment. Eternal fire, that's what Sodom represents. Eternal fire. Fire still burning. The acceptance of homosexuality by Christians is a fulfillment of prophecy, as we've seen some of those prophecies in 2 Peter, also in Jude. And they were judged by fire from heaven, Genesis 19:24. Fire from heaven. wasn't an earthquake, wasn't anything natural whatsoever. Fire doesn't come out of heaven normally. Thank the Lord. Rain does. Fire doesn't. But fire did this day. Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It was a supernatural judgment upon, it was targeted. It was targeted upon those four cities. God saved one city because of Lot's plea. But four of those cities, they were targeted with fire from heaven. And there's all kinds of commentaries that try to make a naturalistic explanation about that and how it could have happened naturally. And the timing, maybe it was just a... No, it's nonsense. Why not just believe the Bible? It was fire out of heaven. And it was. Fire. Warning of the coming day of the Lord. And all the terrible judgments that we read about in Revelation. The greatest judgments this world has ever faced are right there in front of us somewhere. And this world is not ready. And this world doesn't even believe it. But nothing can stop it. The unbelief of the whole world cannot stop it. Psalm 2 describes how that the whole kings of the earth are united against the Lord and against His anointed. And they are today. And the major captains of industry and everybody united against Him. Anybody in power just can't stop Him. Not for one day or one hour. In fact, the Bible says there that God will laugh. Laugh at man's ridiculous folly in trying to resist Him. We're living in these times. These things should stir us up. It should wake us up and make us on fire and ready and waiting, prepared. It's a warning to all generations of God's holy hatred of sin. That's what Peter said. It's a warning of God's holy hatred of sin. God could have just destroyed man right away, but He doesn't want to do that. He wants to save man, but He is a God of judgment. And these things are prefiguring the eternal judgment and pre-warnings for those that will take heed. Proverbs 21:11 says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. I want to be wise. I don't want to need to be spanked, or I want God to just speak. And I learn wisdom. Just speak, Lord. And He has. Here it is. It's a fool that has to be beaten. And so we see this terrible warning of Sodom. We see lessons from Lot's wife. She raised her children for the world rather than for God. She had given her heart to Sodom. She couldn't turn away from it. She could not. She became a pillar of salt, and that's exactly what happened. And that's not believed by the liberals and the skeptics, but that's exactly what happened. Why not? That's what God wanted to do, and that's what happened to her. Pillar of salt. She typifies those that start out on the gospel road but aren't saved. She was Lot's wife. She was Abraham's, related to Abraham, the man of faith, the father of every person that's ever had faith. She was related to him by marriage and lived with them for a long time. Her husband was a believer. Obviously, she was not any kind of believer. And so Lot's wife, and then we learn lessons about Lot's daughters. Terrible lessons in Genesis 19:30-38. We read how that they committed incest with their own father in the cave after this terrible thing they had seen and fall upon Sodom, upon their mother. They were totally corrupted by their life in Sodom. Where in the world did they learn such filthiness? In Sodom. They learned immorality from the world. They had no respect for their father. Oh, so many parents have been unwise with their children. Sent them to public schools or worldly Christian schools, no better. Evil communications corrupt good manners. They're at the school all week long, at church a couple hours maybe, and what are they learning? Wicked things. They had no respect for their father, obviously. They knew the power of alcoholic wine. The power of alcoholic wine. That's another thing they learned in Sodom, obviously. Wine and fornication go together, as the Bible warns in Proverbs. Proverbs 23:33. They knew exactly what to do to their father, to do what they wanted to do. Get him drunk. Proverbs 23:33. They saw it every day in Sodom. Maybe their father was a drinker. Apparently he was. He didn't just start drinking that night. Proverbs 23:33. Thine eyes shall see strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things through the effect of alcohol. A person that drinks liquor, gets drunk, and commits sins and crimes cannot protest that the liquor did it. Because the liquor doesn't just pour itself into our mouths. Drunkenness is not a disease, it is a sin. Their children hated God. Their children hated God. The Moabites and the Ammonites from the beginning hated God, hated the God of Israel, hated Israel. What terrible fruit. We don't know where Lot went after that. Died young or what? We don't know. But the nations that came out of his own incest with his daughters were horrible enemies of Israel. United, Deuteronomy 23:3-4, united in their hatred, given over to fornication and idolatry. That was their whole character as nations. These are the grandchildren of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. Wow. And so we see lessons about the location of Sodom. It was located on the plain of Jordan, north of the Dead Sea. That's very clear from Genesis 19, 25 through 28. And it was on the plain of Jordan. And when, as we've seen, when Lot separated from Abraham, he was in Bethel. And he looked and he set his eyes toward the plain of Jordan. And that was toward the east, over toward Jericho. And that's very clearly where those cities were. And it's possible that they found the remnants of Sodom over in the country of Jordan today, but not sure. It was destroyed. And so we see these horrible things that happened to the man that would not take the word of God seriously, that took these things lightly, that made foolish decisions. And this is where he ended up. Didn't just happen. So right now we want to go back to the pictorial Bible. We've come up to the time of Isaac and the birth of Isaac laughter. But we want to go back and look at these major events in Abraham's life through the pictures. Right, Abraham's journeys. And much more detailed maps. And so when God called Abraham out of Ur, he traveled up the Euphrates and to Haran. That's where his dad died. And he came down to the promised land, Canaan. These are interesting maps that we have included in this pictorial. But there was a road. It was called the Great Trunk Road. That went out across the Mesopotamia that he probably traveled on. It was a well-traveled road. And then when he got to Damascus, there were two major highways that split off from there, and one went out to the coast and then down to Egypt. And then one went down the east side of the Jordan, which was called the King's Highway. And Abraham, as we've seen, first stopped at Shechem, just below Gerizim. And there he built his first altar. And there God appeared to him. And there God promised him that he would give him and his seed that land. He built his first altar. These were places of worship, but they're places that point to Christ, the sacrifices of those altars, pointing to Christ, the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. He lived in tents. He was a pilgrim all his life, always living in tents. And Hebrews 11:13 describes it. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And he lived as a pilgrim. Then he traveled down to Bethel, built another altar there. Bethel became very important in the lives of the patriarchs. And then he went down to Egypt. Egypt. At that time, it was probably the greatest nation on earth already. Traveled down there because of the famine. But God didn't tell him to. He didn't consult God. We don't read about any praying going on there. But he went down with his family and with Sarai. He lied about her down there. That's the first mention of Egypt in the Bible. And from then on, Egypt is a picture of the world and of the danger to God's people. Egypt, founded by Noah's grandson, Mizraim. And so, the Bible calls Egypt the land of Ham, Hamites. And Ham's son Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan fathered the civilizations all across that part of the world. Down below Egypt, in Africa, and then Egypt itself, Mizraim, and then the Canaanites, all sons of Ham. When Abraham went there to It was about 1920 B.C. Egypt was very powerful and wealthy at that time. It was divided then into Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt. Upper Egypt is in the south and Lower Egypt is in the north. And that has to do with the flow of the Nile River. We have a separate study on Egypt. It's a very important part of the biblical revelation. And going down to Egypt was always, after that, signifying backsliding. We've seen consequences in Abraham's life about from going down to Egypt. After that, he returned back to Bethel, back to the place of blessing and worship, prayer. And there, Lot separates from Abram. He turns his eyes toward the plain of Jordan, toward the east, the plain of the Jordan River. There's this huge valley that runs from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. And it's the plain of Jordan. And he journeyed east. This is what he did. There's Bethel. And he went over to the plain of Jordan, to the east, that big valley. And that began Lot's downwards backsliding. Step after step, he made these bad choices until he ended up where we saw tonight. And then Lot was captured when Sodom was captured. And the kings of Mesopotamia started going back home. And Abraham caught up with them. And these were the kings of Shinar, Elam, and these were nations up in Mesopotamia. And they came down and they conquered Sodom and her. And they put them under tribute at first for 12 years. And then Sodom and her sister city-states rebelled against these kings. And so they came down again And this time they defeated the Rephaims, just northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And then the Zuzims are coming down to King's Highway. And then down to the Emans and the Horites and the Ammonites and the Malachites, as the Bible describes all of those. And that's where they were. And then they went up to Sodom. And they fought Sodom and they captured Sodom. And they were headed back north with Lot and his goods when Abram and his men caught up with them about in Dan. He chased them to Dan. And then continued to chase them, caught up with them in Dan, and continued to chase them up to Hobah, up near Damascus. It was a big journey. And he was able to recover everything. The modernists, as they did with everything, said this didn't happen. It couldn't have happened. There wasn't any road over there that big militaries could travel on. But that's been totally disproven. Totally disproven. Evidence shows now that there was extensive travel in that time and place, even that kind of travel, military travel, that there was a major highway east of Jordan. There is evidence of Mesopotamian kings attacking Canaan, records of it. There are records of the kingdom's name in Genesis 14. All kinds of evidence for these things. And that road, that highway, was east of the Dead Sea, east of the Jordan River, the King's Highway. And the evidence was found in the early 20th century for that highway. And then other literary records were found of it. And it was first found by William Albright. And he's a very famous archaeologist. And in the 1920s, he himself did not believe in these things in the Bible. And he actually went to find it to disprove them. But what he actually did was prove them. And he found evidence. And he wrote about that evidence in his own books, The Archaeology of Palestine. And in 1929, he discovered a line of early and middle Bronze Age mounds, the remnants of that highway and the settlements along that highway. And so there's no doubt about it. Two major highways, as we've seen. And so these kings would have gone up from Elam, Shinar, and that area, up the Great Trunk Road, down the King's Highway. There's literary records of these Mesopotamian kings back in that time, and their raids down into Canaan. Not the exact one that's mentioned in the Bible, but other raids was common. They raided everywhere they could. It's what they did. And there's evidence of that. And the king of Elam and the kingdom of Elam, a lot is known about that now. It's a major civilization at Abraham's day. The first wheels and arched roofs were found there. These fortified cities and this high-tech culture, as we've seen, in these other cities along in Mesopotamia. Elam's capital was Susa. That's later called Shushan. That's where Nehemiah lived. That's where Esther lived later in the Medo-Persian Empire, because they conquered Elam. This is a bronze helmet from ancient Elam with goddesses on it for protection. Eleazar, that's also known. That's mentioned here in Genesis 14. That's also known to be a major city at that time. They found it. The chief god was Shamash, the sun god. And the remnants of their tower is still there. And then we saw how that Abraham met Melchizedek. Was met by Melchizedek when he came back south. And he came to Salem, Melchizedek, the king of Salem. He also met the king of Sodom there. We've seen the study on Melchizedek as a type of Christ, as a forerunner of Christ. And Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. We've done studies on all these things. Christ, picture of Christ, pointing to Christ in many different ways. And the king of Sodom met Abraham there. King of Sodom, and Abraham gave a powerful witness to him and said, "Nobody, you're not going to be able to say that you have made Abraham rich." And he lift up his hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. The king of Sodom. And he was a light. Abraham was a light to that those pagan people. And then Abraham returned to Hebron. And that's when God gave a great promise to him and told him not to fear. God rewarded him for his stand in front of the king of Sodom. God gave him another great promise of the coming of the seed, and said his seed would be as a multitude as the stars of heaven, a multitude as the sands of the sea, of the seashore. And both of them are literally without number. It's hard to imagine the seed of Abraham and the consequences of Abraham's faith and of Jesus Christ, his greater son. He's the father of all them that believe. Abraham. His salvation is a pattern for every person's salvation. It's the only basis upon which to be saved. By grace, through faith, upon the basis of Christ's blood. And God reconfirmed his promise to give the land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. All the way up to the top part of that map. God gave him that land. God promised that it would be an eternal gift. And then God passed through the sacrifices at night while Abraham was asleep to signify his covenant based on Christ's sacrifice, his covenant of grace, his sure, unconditional covenant. And then Abraham committed the sin with Hagar. Hagar, and that was in Hebron. And Hagar ran away on the way to Shur, on the way to Egypt, down to the south. Hagar, Beersheba, Berla Hoiroi, Hiroi, and Kadesh, and it was later shortened to Lahoroi and became a place where Isaac dwelt. God gave Hagar a prophecy of Ishmael's whole history and his people, which we have seen fulfilled in history and before our very eyes today. God bless that woman. I don't think she was ever a believer or saved. But she said God told her that Ishmael's offspring would be great multitude. He would be a wild man. And that's exactly what he's been. This is an excellent book, A Sword on the Land, by Pastor Bill Randles, about the history of Islam in prophecy and in history, as we've seen already. The history of the Arabs and their spiritual descendants, the Muslims. And then God gave the sign of circumcision to Abraham when he was 99 years old. He's back in Hebron. We've seen the study on that. He was 99 years old. He obeyed God immediately that same day. It was a sign of his faith. And the reality of circumcision is the circumcised heart. It is to be born again. And that will be fulfilled in Israel one day. Could happen even a few years from now. If the rapture were to occur tonight, it would happen very soon. 3.5 years or so when Israel is going to be converted. Now that's going to be a great thing. Nobody's ever been saved by circumcision or by any religious ritual that way. And God changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of a multitude. He changed Sarai's name to Sarah, princess of mother of kings. God's plan for those people is very great. And we need to accept God's plan for people. A lot of people get upset at pastors when the pastor's not doing anything unscriptural. But you better be very careful about that kind of thing. God's the one that calls people. God judges Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels visited there. They look like men. They first came and visited Abraham. God and the angels. God revealed what he was going to do to Sodom. Abraham's down in Hebron. And Abraham prayed, got God down to 10. God said, if there's 10, I won't destroy it. But there wasn't 10 righteous. The angels went in there and the people of Sodom crowded around and tried to have relationships with these angels. Anyway, we talk about where Sodom was located and the possibility that they found the ruins of Sodom over in Jordan, the country of Jordan today. Tel El Hamam, I don't know, but that was the plain of Moab and the plain of Jordan in that time. And that's an artist reconstructive drawing of ancient Sodom. Could be right, could be wrong, not sure. But that's based on what they found over in Jordan, there in the plain of Jordan. And the place became a desert. It had been a paradise. It had been like Eden. And it had been like a garden of God. And it became a horrible desert. And that's what it is today. That's for sure. It is a horrible, terrible, desolate place. All around the Dead Sea. Going the wrong way. So the angels were sent by God to rescue Lot and his family. They spent the night there, part of the night. But they're called men. Always called men in the Bible. They're never winged women. And not like this. That's your typical depiction in Bible artwork. Winged men or winged women. And but in the Bible, there's no description like this. The sin of Sodom. It was not inhospitality. It was homosexuality. It was giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. It was filthy conversation. The whole entire population was given over to this horrible sin. Young and old, great and small. And even after they were stricken with blindness, they still tried to find the door, tried to get in that house. And now we have the gay pride and the homosexual pride movement all over the world, including Tel Aviv in Israel. They have one of the biggest there is. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Out of heaven. Nothing natural about it. It's totally supernatural judgment, a warning. A warning to all men. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemn them with an overthrow. Making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. God has given every warning he could possibly give to men. So that is Sodom. Lot's wife, and they were told, finally the angels literally drugged him out. Lot, his two daughters, his wife, and the angel said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And there she is today somewhere. And so we finish this session, this hour, with this journey of Abraham.